You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Jesus was always on the go. Pausing for moments of prayer and meditation, he was ready again to get up and go. Matthew tells us in the 9th chapter of his gospel that Jesus went around to all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Jesus had a mission, and so have we. Today this program begins its 56th season of broadcasting the good news of the kingdom. It was his mission, and it is ours today. We have that mission because of him. It's the only mission we have. The good news is of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. During the last 55 years, and now beginning the 56th broadcast season, bringing Christ to the nations has not just been a motto with us, but a way of life. Every year we say to ourselves, "Get up and go." We say that same thing to you, in the name of the one who got up and went along the road that led him to his cross and then to the tomb from which the stone has been rolled away. Jesus did not hesitate to tell his people that their way too would lead to a cross. To do whatever it takes to be a follower of Christ, a Christian, is to go the way of the cross. He said to the 12, "The disciple is not above his master." Nobody has to carry the cross that Christ carried. That one he took alone. He died for the sins of the world, something nobody else can do, not even for himself. Then there are the crosses Christians are asked to carry, which are not just little irritations and annoyances, or even the bigger problems and worries that cause sleepless nights. The crosses Christ asks his people to carry are the sufferings by which they are educated to a growing maturity of character. They have to do with following him rather than one's own inclinations, as he himself proved. The cross is the road to glory. "Get up and go," Christ says to his followers today. His cross is in full view, and it is for the redemption of the world. His call to you is to walk the way of redemption, clearing out the garbage along the road and cleaning up life all around with the good news of the kingdom that is his, proclaimed with compassion like his for people everywhere. Jesus got up and went, as Matthew tells us, to all the cities and all the villages, preaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every malignity. When he saw the multitudes, Matthew says, he was moved to compassion for them because they were scattered abroad and perplexed as sheep that don't have a shepherd. That must have been the way of Jesus, describing the world as it was and as it is in our own time. To meet that situation, he did not propose a system of taxation that would be fairer to everybody, or a political program with a lot of promise that nobody expects to be fulfilled. He did not offer himself as the king of bread or the king of anything else, except of the kingdom that comes to people only because of him. Lots of books have been written about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus himself referred to it in the cities and the villages. People were puzzled by that kind of talk in those days, as they are today. "Don't say, 'Look here or look there,'" said Jesus, "because the kingdom of heaven is right here wherever I am." Citizenship in the kingdom of God and of heaven is knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus, following Jesus, and loving Jesus. It's that simple and also that profound. Citizenship in the kingdom of heaven comes to people right here on earth. It comes from God, and it is in Christ. It is not just trimming up your sails and brushing up on your weak spots in your own life. It's a new thing altogether that calls for stop and go. There is no such thing as spiritual birth control. The good news of the kingdom calls into existence a whole family of God that broadens its borders with enthusiasm and confidence. It's a message for people in the pews. And it has a message for people who never sat in a pew during their whole lifetime. The message is direct and straightforward. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. When the apostles were asked for a reason of the hope that was within them, they replied simply, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." They themselves found that message a complete reversal of all the religion they had ever practiced before, some of which was a form of legalism that said, "Do this and don't do that, and you will be saved." The good news of the kingdom is grace from beginning to end. It puts people in their place, just as Christ put himself in the place of everyone. Now that's grace. Coming from the heart of God, it is forgiveness and life, purely by his grace, without any merit or worthiness in us. Get up and go, my friend. You may have the idea that you're just as good as other people, and for that reason you have a sort of claim on the favor of God, just as if he would be impressed with what you have done or have escaped doing. Get up and go to the foot of Christ's cross, where he died for the sins of the world, including yours. Get up and go to the open tomb from which the stone has been rolled away after he rose from the dead by the glory of his Father. In that good news of the kingdom, there's life. It's the light of people everywhere, and the darkness has never been able to put it out. This broadcast for 55 years and more now has always called people to know Christ and to trust Christ. In other words, to have faith in Christ. Faith in Christ not only knows what he is and what he does, but it actually trusts him, depending upon him for the very breath of new life, for new desires and a new outlook, which the scriptures call hope. It has direction when it has hope in Christ. It keeps you from wandering around like sheep that are scattered abroad, constantly perplexed as sheep are when they have no shepherd. Like a good shepherd, Jesus had compassion for people who had lost their way. He taught people, as he teaches people today, through his word. Get up and go. Get acquainted with Jesus and find out how wonderful it is to know him. Get up and go. Follow him and do the works of Jesus, which are different, but not simply in order to be different. The works of Jesus make a difference in the lives of people who trust him, just as they do in the lives of people still wandering around as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus died for all, just as he did for you. He has compassion for all, just as he has for you. He shed his justifying blood for all, just as he does for you. His good word, the gospel of God and of heaven, is an invitation to all, just as it is for you. St. Paul said, "We have a word of reconciliation from him that enables us in our place, as it enables you in your place, to stand up and speak up for Christ without worry about the consequences, saying to people, 'Make your peace with God, for God made him who didn't know any sin at all to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.'" Jesus helps. Jesus heals. Jesus hallows life as only he can in the good news of the kingdom, the free offer of forgiveness and life that is truly life indeed. Bringing the good news of the kingdom to people everywhere is sometimes called evangelism. Evangelism itself has come to have a bad name because it's so often been carried out in a way which gives people the impression that someone is bragging about himself instead of talking up the grace and glory of God that are in Jesus alone. Boasting about oneself, which sometimes passes for evangelism, very often brings about the downfall about which the apostles so often spoke. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. St. Paul defined evangelism in his own words. "Let me remind you, brothers and sisters, of the evangel with which I evangelized you, of the gospel with which I gospeled you, of the good news with which I good newsed you, And then he went on to explain exactly what the good news is. I deliver to you, first and foremost, what I myself received, how that Christ died for our sins as the Scripture said he would, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day as the Scripture said he would be. Everything is in Christ. There you see the kingdom, where he is the king and no one else. The glory of God comes through in the grace God shows to the humble, the contrite in heart and spirit. They know they are sinners and need forgiveness. What's more, they accept forgiveness freely from the hand of God, just as he gives it freely, purely out of the goodness of his heart, turning people around and giving them new direction that keeps them from wandering around like sheep having no shepherd. Where Christ is, there's compassion all over the place. It understands the plight of people, and it does something about it. It brings good news to a world of bad news. It brings new grace in place of the old pride which caused all of the trouble in the first place. It energizes people with a new love, something like the love of Christ himself, moved with compassion simply by the sight of all those masses of people wandering around as sheep having no shepherd. Will Rogers once said that American history could be written in three phrases: the passing of the Indian, the passing of the buffalo, and the passing of the buck. A well-known psychiatrist, Smiley Blanton, once said of buck passing that it is the greatest narcotic people can use to anesthetize their consciences. Real evangelism finally winds up with one person who follows Christ inviting another person to follow Christ. It is telling the good news as the good news it really is, and it is backing up that good news, as Jesus did, by everything Christ expects his followers to do. Jesus finally wound up telling his disciples on this occasion, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest that he may send out laborers into his harvest." In his book, Energy in the Pew, Dan Walker points out that doing is the whole purpose of faith in Christ. Reviewing the Gospels recently, he said, "I was astounded at the number of times Jesus sent his followers out to do something. The record is punctuated with these orders: go preach, go tell, go work, go into the highways, go to the next town, go into the country, go to the other side, go into the deep, go into the streets, go into the city, go into the village, go to the lost sheep, go and call your husband, go make it right with your brother, go and learn, go quickly, go in peace, arise, let us be going." One of the finest things a Christian can say to a friend, a neighbor, or even a member of his own family is, "Come to church with me." Church may not be perfect, but it is the best place to hear the good news of Christ. On this broadcast, we have never written off the local assembly of Christians gathered around the Word and the sacraments. There really is nothing like an electronic church. We broadcast the good news of the kingdom and of its king, the Lord Jesus. We do that in support of the church, wherever it is to be found. Get up and go now, my friend. If you're in a wheelchair, people will help you to go to church. If you love the Lord, people in church will be much encouraged by your coming. You may not be able to go every Sunday, but use your get up and go whenever you can. That going is itself a witness to the Lordship of Christ. The church helps people live out their faith in daily action with compassion for multitudes, fulfilling the prayer of Jesus that the Lord of the harvest might send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is great, and the laborers are few. In its work for the Lord, the church needs professionals who are willing to be laborers. All of us need to recover the servant role. Nothing can be beneath our notice, whatever position we may hold in the church. Recently, after having lunch with a pastor in a large city, I said goodbye to him and asked him what lay immediately in his path. He replied, "I'm going down and start ladling soup." His church provides afternoon food for the poor and the elderly in the neighborhood. who otherwise wouldn't have a hot meal that day. His heart is in bringing the good news of the kingdom, of course, as Jesus showed by giving help where help was needed, encouragement where encouragement is needed, giving food where food is needed, always recognizing that the bread of life is Jesus himself, given into death by the grace of his Father, and raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. Get up and go is the motto of the Lord of life. It's his command, and it is his yoke laid upon every follower of his. For the joy that was set before him, he endured a cross, forgetting about the shame. The exhilaration of getting up and going for him makes that yoke what he said it would be. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. By the grace of God, which knows no bounds, proclaimed as the good news of the kingdom by the King himself, get up and go. Don't just sit there. Get up and go. Amen.